Ever wonder what makes a company a truly compelling long-term investment, even when it faces a crisis that seems to shake its very foundations? Today, we're taking a deep dive into just such a fascinating case. MTU Aero Engines AG. This is a company right at the heart of the global aerospace industry. And we've distilled insights from some in-depth investment research analysis to really understand its strategic position.
Yeah, and our mission for this deep dive basically is to extract the most important nuggets of knowledge and insight from this detailed analysis. We want to uncover MTU's unique business model, the current turbulence it's navigating, and what looks like surprising long-term potential. The core investment thesis we're exploring is that the company's current market valuation, well, it's being weighed down by a significant but short-term issue, and that's sort of obscuring its intrinsic value and, you know, substantial long-term strategic benefits.
Absolutely. And our goal is to provide you with surprising facts and clear explanations, helping you become truly well-informed on this complex yet incredibly intriguing company. So how does a company like MTU, an industry of these multi-billion-dollar engines, truly turn a long-term profit? It seems to come down to a business model that's, well, as clever as it is, critical to the aerospace world. MTU Aero Engines AG stands out as a critical technology partner to the world's leading engine OEMs, those original equipment manufacturers, and also the world's leading independent MRO provider, maintenance, repair, and overhaul.
Exactly. And what's particularly compelling here is how MTU operates on a razor and blades business model, but adapted for high-tech aviation. Think of it like a high-tech version of how maybe printers are sold cheap, but the ink cartridges make all the money over time. The initial sale of new engines, those are the razors, often happens at low, sometimes even negative margins.
Yeah.
But this builds a massive installed base of engines over time. The real value, the blades, comes over the multi-decade lifespan of these engines. That's through highly profitable and recurring spare part sales and MRO services. It's really a brilliant long-term annuity stream.
And that blades concept, those really profitable aftermarket services, it truly comes to life when you look at their revenue mix for fiscal year 2024. Commercial MRO accounted for a hefty 67% of their total revenue. That's about $5.1 billion. Commercial OEM contributed 26%, or $1.9 billion, and the military segment rounded it out with 8%, which is about $0.6 billion. It paints a very clear picture, doesn't it?
It really does. The OEM segment involves the development, manufacturing, assembly, delivery, all the modules and components for new commercial and military engines. But MTU isn't just a supplier. It's what they call a risk and revenue sharing partner, or RRSP. This basically means they co-invest in development to secure a share of the lifetime program revenues, especially, and this is key, from the highly profitable spare parts business. And for their military R&D, it's typically government financed, which provides stable, lower risk profitability.
Okay, so if they're building these engines and also servicing them, how significant is their MRO footprint? You mentioned MTU Maintenance is the world's largest independent MRO provider by revenue.
That's right. They service over 30 different engine types for more than 270 airlines and leasing companies globally. It's a huge operation.
So what's the strategic benefit of having such a broad MRO portfolio in what seems like a highly specialized industry?
Well, that diversity is absolutely key. It provides stability across different engine cycles, you know, different generations of technology, and it minimizes their reliance on any single platform. If one engine type has issues, they have others. This broad reach also solidifies their market dominance and creates pretty significant switching costs for airlines. It cements that long-term revenue visibility.
Now, one of the most intriguing aspects, I think, of MTU's market position lies in its complex relationship with the major OEMs. They seem to be simultaneously crucial partners and, well, fierce competitors. How does a company navigate that kind of frenemy dynamic?
A frenemy is a good word for it. It's a fascinating balancing act. Take Pratt & Whitney, for instance. MTU has a critical 18% risk and revenue share in the GTF engine program. That's the geared turbofan. And what's critical about MTU handling the high-speed, low-pressure turbine and the first few stages of the high-pressure compressor, these aren't just any components. They are right at the heart of the engine's efficiency. That's where a lot of the proprietary IP lies. Securing these roles locks MTU into the most valuable parts of the engine's life cycle, making them, well, pretty indispensable. Then with General Electric, MTU partners on flagship wide-body engines of the GE9X. They have a 6.6% share there, and the GE9X with a 4% share. For those, they design and manufacture the highly complex turbine center frame. And, you know, their extensive history with Rolls-Royce, particularly in military programs like the Eurofighter's EJ200 engine, just underlines this really interwoven relationship.
So these risk and revenue sharing partnerships, these RRSPs, they aren't just about sharing development costs up front. They effectively lock MTU into these programs for their entire lifespan, guaranteeing a proportional piece of that really profitable aftermarket business. Is it fair to say this creates an almost insurmountable barrier to entry for any potential new competitor?
Oh, absolutely. It's a massive competitive moat, as they say. Mm-hmm. This model creates deeply entrenched relationships. It secures MTU's position in the aerospace value chain for decades. A key takeaway from this is the exceptional long-term revenue visibility they get from their exposure to critical engine programs, like the GTF family that's really the cornerstone for future growth, powering the Airbus A320neo family, the A220, Embraer E-Jets Gen 2, huge volume there. Then the GE9X, which is exclusive for the Boeing 777X, positions MTU for the future wide-body market. You've also got the V2500, which is now a mature cash cow for the older Airbus A320ceo fleet, still very important. And of course, the EJ200 for the Eurofighter, plus their involvement in the new generation fighter engine for Europe's Future Combat Air System, or FCAS, big defense programs.
Right. Of course, we can't talk about MTU without confronting the significant turbulence they faced recently. There's this major short-term headwind that's cast a shadow, but our deep dive suggests it might actually be an unexpected accelerant, which is fascinating. We're talking about the Pratt & Whitney Geared turbofan engine's powder metal contamination issue, which led to that massive global recall.
Yeah, that's been a really tough period for them, no doubt, and the financial impact has been substantial. MTU recorded a provision, basically set-aside money, of roughly $1 billion back in 2023, and they experienced significant cash outflows because of it, which reduced their free cash flow down to $183 million in 2024. It's quite a drop from $352 million the year before.
Okay, so the financial impact isn't just a paper loss. It directly hit their cash flow. That's significant. But here's the crucial bull case insight from the analysis we looked at. This crisis, despite all the pain, is actually acting as an unlikely catalyst. It has forced this massive premature wave of engine shop visits, engines coming in for overhaul much sooner than expected, and this effectively pulls forward the maturation of the GTF MRO market by several years. So it's less a pure setback and maybe more like a forced high-speed training camp for MTU. Incredibly painful in the short term, yes, but potentially making them hyper-efficient and dominant in a crucial market for decades to come. It sounds like the ultimate pain now, gain big later scenario almost.
It's actually fascinating how a crisis can sometimes accelerate strategic advantages faster than, you know, years of planned development might have. However, if we connect this to the bigger picture, we absolutely need to consider the bear case risks too. First, there's that OEM frenemy risk we talked about, the inherent tension with OEMs where they are partners in new engines but direct competitors in MRO. This could potentially lead to margin pressure for MTU down the line or maybe limit its access to certain intellectual property needed for repairs. Second, there's significant execution risk on the MRO ramp-up. Doubling MRO revenue by 2030, which is their goal, is monumental. It requires huge capital expenditure, hiring thousands of skilled technicians globally, managing complex supply chains. It's a big lift. Third, the GTF financial drag. Those cash outflows will remain a significant headwind through 2026, impacting their financials. And finally, despite MRO being generally resilient, MTU is not totally immune to macroeconomic sensitivity. I mean, global recessions, pandemics like we saw, or major geopolitical conflicts impacting air travel demand could still affect them.
Okay, let's maybe guide you through MTU's recent financial journey to see how they've navigated all this. If we review their five-year historical adjusted financial performance, say from 2020 to 2024, you can clearly see their resilience during the COVID-19 downturn back in 2020. That was tough for everyone in aviation. But that was followed by a really robust recovery and then record operational performance in 2024. Adjusted revenue hit $7.5 billion and adjusted EBIT soared to $1.05 billion, exceeding that $1 billion mark for the first time. Pretty impressive recovery.
Yeah, and delving deeper into profitability, the adjusted EBIT margin has consistently expanded. It climbed from 10.5% in 2020 to a strong 14.0% in 2024. And MTU's return on equity, or ROE, is quite impressive at nearly 20%, 19.97%, which significantly outperforms the industry average. Now, their return on invested capital, ROIC, was temporarily below their weighted average cost of capital, the WACC, but that was largely due to that big GTF charge impacting earnings. It's certainly expected to rebound as the situation normalizes and those cash flows improve.
Right. And looking ahead, management has laid out some pretty ambitious guidance that signals strong confidence in their recovery and growth plan. For 2025, they've actually raised their revenue target to $8.6 to $8.8 billion. Adjusted EBIT growth is projected in the low to mid-20s% range. That's strong growth. And free cash flow is also anticipated to recover nicely, somewhere between €300 and €50 million. Then looking further out, their 2030 outlook, they're projecting revenue to reach €13 to €14 billion. A huge jump. and aiming for an adjusted EBIT margin of 14.5% to 15.5%. So what's really driving this optimistic trajectory?
So this growth out to 2030, it's really driven by specific dynamics in their high margin aftermarket business. Spare parts revenues are expected to grow at high single digits to low teens annually. That's very profitable growth. And commercial MRO is expected to grow at low teens annually as well. Both of those are significantly outpacing new engine sales, which are projected in the mid to high single digits. So this faster growth in the high margin aftermarket businesses parts and MRO, that's the structural driver behind the projected margin expansion, it's pushing the overall group EBIT margin up towards that 15% target. It's all about leveraging that huge installed base they've meticulously built over decades.
Okay, so beyond the current financial picture and the recovery, MTU is also making some big strategic moves for the future. What are some of these initiatives designed to leverage their core competencies and drive, you know, really profitable long-term growth?
Well, a major part of this is their ambitious MRO expansion strategy. They're aiming to pretty much double MRO revenue to $10 to $11 billion by 2030. This involves a strategic pivot, shifting focus from servicing legacy engines like the V2500 towards the rapidly expanding GTF fleet. Remember that accelerated MRO ramp up forced by the recall? They're leaning into that now, and they're making significant strategic investments in new facilities like MTU Maintenance Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas, and expanding their joint venture facility down in Zhuhai, China, building capacity.
And MTU is also making some really big strides in sustainable aviation through its CLAIRE, that's C-L-A-I-R-E, technology agenda. They seem particularly focused on the Revolutionary Flying Fuel Cell, or FFC, project. Mm. This is a hydrogen-powered electric propulsion system that promises only water emissions. How significant is this in the broader push for green aviation?
Oh, it's extremely significant. A really landmark development came in June 2025, actually. They signed a memorandum of understanding with Airbus. This partnership basically aligns MTU's FFC development with Airbus's Big Zero project. That project aims to bring a hydrogen-powered commercial aircraft to market, probably sometime after 2035. So this truly positions MTU as a potential key supplier for future hydrogen-powered aircraft. It's a big deal. And they're also leading a European research project called HEROPS to develop a hydrogen electric powertrain specifically for regional aircraft. So this isn't just, you know, blue sky R&D. It's about securing a potential major new growth vector for them beyond 2035.
That's fascinating. We also need to touch on the significant tailwinds in the defense market. We're seeing increased spending globally, particularly here in Europe, following the war in Ukraine, with NATO members committing to higher defense budgets. How well positioned is MTU to capitalize on this trend?
MTU is exceptionally well positioned here. They serve as a lead industrial partner for the German armed forces, the Bundeswehr, and they're a central player in developing the new generation fighter engine, or NGFE, for Europe's future combat air system, FCAS. That's the next-gen fighter program. This ensures a stable, growing stream of long-cycle, government-funded revenue for decades to come, and it provides a really crucial counterbalance to the sometimes more volatile commercial market fluctuations.
Right, makes sense. And beyond the fiscal engines and their maintenance, MTU is also embracing digital transformation in the MRO sector. Using something called MTU Plus Intelligent Solutions, I saw they have tools like Engine Trend Monitoring or ETM Web for predictive maintenance, and fleet management software called Cortex for optimizing maintenance strategies. This sounds like it moves them from just reactive repair to being more of a proactive partner with the airlines.
It absolutely does. Think of it this way. Instead of just waiting for an engine part to wear out or break, MTU's digital tools allow airlines to proactively monitor their fleet's health in real time, predicting potential issues sometimes weeks or months in advance. This transforms MTU from just a repair shop into an essential strategic partner for the airline. It embeds them even deeper into an airline's daily operations and creates this recurring high-value service layer. And that's incredibly difficult for competitors to replicate. It's a key part of how they build that sticky, high-margin revenue we talked about.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground today. We've unpacked MTU's really compelling long-term investment case, I think, while also acknowledging those significant but temporary GTF-related headwinds. To help you, our listener, keep track as things evolve, what are the key performance indicators, the KPIs that you should be monitoring?
Right. So to help you keep track of their progress, here's kind of a dashboard of key performance indicators to watch. First, keep an eye on their order intake and book-to-bill ratio. Their record 28.6 billion order backlog at the end of 2024 gives exceptional visibility. Second, track spare parts revenue growth and margin. This is absolutely crucial for validating that margin expansion thesis we discussed. Third, look at MRO shop visit volume and mix. You want to monitor the transition to the next-gen GTF work as that ramps up significantly over the next few years. Fourth, and maybe most crucially in the near term, watch their free cash flow, FCF, and cash conversion rate, CCR. The ultimate test of their recovery will be seeing that CCR return to what they guide as a high double-digit percentage range by 2030. And finally, monitor their return on invested capital, ROIC, versus their WACC. That tells you when the company returns to clearly creating economic value after the GTF hit.
Great list. And as you continue your own deep dive, here are some specific questions you might want to investigate further. First, how balanced is MTU's exposure to narrow-body versus wide-body aircraft markets? The analysis suggests it's actually quite diversified, favorably skewed towards narrow-body for volume, which is good for MRO frequency. But with strong wide-body programs like the GE9X providing crucial diversification and exposure to long-haul growth. Second, how do the company's long-term service agreements, or LTSAs, provide revenue visibility?
Well, these are typically multi-year contracts, often structured as power by the hour. They cover something like 80-90% of modern engine fleets, and they usually run for 8, 10, 12 years, or even longer, creating a very predictable long-term revenue stream. That's what makes their aftermarket business so robust.
Okay, third, what are the implications of increasing engine bypass ratios on MTU's business? This gets a bit technical. So if I'm understanding this right, it's like this evolution in engine design, making them more fuel efficient. It actually means the maintenance hotspots shift. It's maybe no longer just about the core engine, but these new highly specialized modules like gearboxes and bigger fans. And critically, MTU already has deep expertise in those specific areas where the complexity is increasing, giving them an edge.
That's exactly it. This trend, which the GTF really exemplifies, improves fuel efficiency, but definitely increases mechanical complexity. It shifts the MRO focus towards things like the gearbox, the large fan modules, the low-pressure turbine, and this plays directly to MTU's established strengths in LPTs, HPCs, and of course their growing GTF MRO expertise.
That's a powerful point. Okay, fourth question. How might urban air mobility, UAM, and electric aviation impact long-term growth?
Well, the UAM market is projected for very high compound annual growth, though it's still early days. MTU's flying fuel cell hydrogen electric technology is highly relevant here, especially for potentially larger regional applications. And that Airbus partnership really provides a potential new growth vector beyond 2035 if hydrogen takes off.
Got it. And finally, fifth, what are the key inflection points for defense spending in MTU's key markets?
Yeah, for that you need to look for NATO members hitting their spending targets, specific contract awards like the big FCA-SEOE program moving forward. Also, election outcomes in key countries can influence budgets, and unfortunately, any escalation of conflicts could also drive spending higher. These will directly impact their military segment outlook.
So wrapping up, we've really unpacked how MTU Aero Engines, despite facing these significant temporary headwinds with the GTF, possesses a unique business model, deep technological moats, especially with those RSPs, and a clear strategic roadmap that seems to position it for substantial long-term growth.
Yeah, and maybe a final provocative thought for you to consider. How can a company not only navigate, but actually leverage significant industry disruptions like this GTF issue to potentially accelerate its long-term strategic advantage? What does this tell you about resilience, about foresight, and maybe even about opportunity in these complex global industries?
Something definitely worth pondering. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into MTU Aero Engines. Keep exploring these fascinating topics, and we'll catch you next time.